Yeah. Madhava and Adideva are watching. Garuda is watching. Huh, very interesting. We're broadcasting here from Govardhan with all the assembled Vaishnavas, and we're going to read just from the translation of Manik Shiksha with the commentary by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Okay, so Om Magadatya Miranda Shaganjana Shlokaya Chakshuram Vitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So first there's the invocation by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So to compose this commentary, this is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's language, to compose this commentary on Manik Shiksha, I fall at the lotus feet of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. He is worshipable by the whole world because he has displayed how to cut all worldly ties by taking full shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami taught Raghunath Das Goswami all the secrets and mystery of the worship of the name of the Lord, Hari Nam Bhajan. These 12 shlokas of Manak Shiksha are the wealth and life of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas because Raghunath Das Goswami, by addressing and instructing his own mind, is teaching everyone these same secrets. He reveals what people should or shouldn't do when, after the accumulation of devotional good fortune, they gain faith, shraddha, and devotional service for Sri Krishna. As I mentioned earlier today, this is the internal path that's taught by Lord Chaitanya to Swarup Damodar Goswami and that was taught by to Raghunath Das Goswami. There is the external path that's taught by Janachandra Goswami, but we're supposed to follow this internal path. In other words, we do our preaching, devotional service to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and at the same time we have this internal cultivation that's bringing us further and further to Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. So now we're going to read a little bit more of the introduction or the invocation. And actually these are the Manashiksha Bhasha. I'm just going to read the English. I offer my respects to the lotus feet of Sri Guru, the moonlight Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. The eternal treasure of Braj, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, absorbed in their play, melded into one body and manifested in Bengal, along with their timeless abode and their entourage of eternal associates. Of course, that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. O heart, know it to be true, by performing congregational chanting of the holy name, Nama Sankirtan, in Navadvip, Gaurahari gave the immortal ambrosia of sacred love to Bengal. The same Hari became the best among wandering ascetics, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who lived in Nilachal in the pretext of being a sannyasi, enjoying unsurpassed bliss with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, exploring deep and intimate mysteries of Krishna's love. Teaching these spiritual truths, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Raghunath Das Goswami to Rupa and Braj. It was there that Raghunath Das Goswami adored and worshipped Krishna alongside Sri Rupa and wrote this Manik Shiksha. I, poor Bhakti Vinod, cherishing the intense desire to become the servant of their servants, sing these commentaries on Manik Shiksha wherever I find pure devotees. Please be merciful and listen. So that's the invocation. So this is verse 1. And we're going to chant this to the... this is a different melody than we normally chant verses to. But this is the Jagannath Ashtaka melody. I think you all have heard this melody before. So I'll just chant it. Gurau goshte gulushtali yashu sujune bursura gandhe Swamantre Srinamni Prajanava Yuvatvandva Sharande Sadadambam Hitvakuru Rattimapurvam Matitaram Aishwanta Bratas Chaturbir Abhiyache Tritapada. So, this is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's actually will be the translation, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's word-by-word analysis. O dear brother, O mind, remember these are instructions to the mind, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Shri Guru, to Shri Vrindavana, the abode of cows, to the devotee residence of Vrindavan, to all the devotees on this planet, to the confidential mantra given by Shri Guru, to the holy names of Shri Shri Radhakrishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh, youthful couple of Braj. Holding your feet, I beseech you with sweet words. So here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's what's called the Shloka Artha, or the meaning of the verse in terms of each word. So first he analyzes Shri Guru. So Shri Guru, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, includes both Diksha Guru and Shiksha Gurus. That's initiating guru and instructing gurus. The types of attachment one should develop towards the gurus while serving them is clearly explained in the next verse. That's the second verse of the Manakshiksha. Second word is Goshta, Sri Brajadam. This includes Gokula, Nandishara, Govardhan, Shaimakund, Yavat, and all other places of Krishna's pastimes in Brajamandal. Goshta Layin, the residents of Braj, that is those who reside in Brajadam, for the purpose of pleasing the Lord through devotional service are called Brajavasi Gana. Brajavasi indicates a pure devotee, an elevated Uttama Bhagavat. Such person resides in Brajadam, both physically and in meditation, or just in meditation. And then next word, Sujana. The Vaishnavas are devotees of the Lord. Vaishnavas, and this is a very unique explanation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which shows his very broad vision as far as devotees are concerned. Vaishnavas may belong to any Vaishnava Sampradaya school. Perhaps they may not reside in Brajadam, even in meditation, but still they are bona fide and are devotees of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. These are the intermediate Majjhima Bhagavat devotees. Then, Bhu Sudagana, the Brahmanas. These are persons who are teachers, priests, intellectuals, scholars, counselors, or healers, and who are firmly fixed in the scriptural duties for their occupation and life stages. Varnashrama Dharma. Such persons also teach the worship of the Lord, Vaishnava Dharma, to all pious persons, Varnashrama followers. They are known as juniors or Kanishta Bhagavat. Nourish attachment to the Uttama Bhagavat, whose body and mind live in Brajadam for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. Swa Mantra. One's Diksha Mantra. This is the spiritual mantra or Bhagavan mantra that a bona fide guru gives as part of initiation. It's called the Kama Gayatri. So, Sri Harinam, these are the primary names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relation to the spiritual world and the spiritual eternal function. And these are names like Sri Hari, Sri Radhakanta, Sri Krishna, Sri Govinda, and so forth. Secondary names such as Patita Pavana, deliverer of all fallen souls, and Paramatma, super soul, are related only to the material world. One should always take shelter of the Lord's primary names. And then, Braja Nava Yuva Dvangva Sharana. Surrender to the youthful divine couple of Braj. One should take shelter exclusively and one-pointedly of Braja Law, the divine couple Shri Radha Krishna. And then, Dambam Hitva, giving up pride. The varieties of Dumba include Maya, illusion and trickery, Avidya, ignorance, Kapa, Tata, cheating, Asralata, lack of direct simplicity, and Satya, deceit and duplicity. While cultivating pure devotional service, if there is any other motive besides progression in bhakti, then one is engaged in a kind of cheating or duplicity. If philosophical detachment, jnana, or good works for material enjoyment, karma, is prominent in the devotional process, then ignorance will be seen as more powerful than bhakti. If any unfavorable mood is present in the development of bhakti, it is a disguised form of maya. One must give up all such things. When one engages in the cultivation of pure devotional service, illusions about duties of occupation and stage of life are nashum dharma. Material desires, the self, God, material energy, life's goal, and the process of success will all disappear. And then the next word, apurvavrati, the love inherent in the soul is pure love for the Lord. Atmavrati is shudavrati. When that pure love in the conditioned soul comes in contact with the dull matter of maya, it transforms into material attachment. In pure Krishna bhakti, the original, eternal, deeply emotional attachment remains fixed and visible at all times. Because Sri Krishna is the soul of all souls, during conditional life, while performing devotional service, a soul becomes filled with apurva rati, love that has no material precedent, in proportion to the expression of the soul's inherent emotional attachment. So, the last explanation of the words is atitaram kuru, make intensive endeavor, and that's atishya bhana. Enthusiastically feel encouraged to progress and take full shelter in the devotional path. Do not become complacent, thinking, if I am lucky, I will get spiritual success, or if it is not in my fortune, then I may not achieve it. And that's the whole point about astrology and everything like that. As much as the mercy of the Guru and Krishna combine with one's own endeavors, one gets spiritual potency. As much as that spiritual potency manifests, one's desires to enjoy the fruits of one's own actions will be diminished. So that's the word-by-word analysis of some of the words. And here's his commentary. To be eligible to receive the pure instructions in this verse, a person should already have achieved faith, shraddha, in the path of loving devotion to Krishna. Such faith comes from the potency of the association of saintly persons, sadhu sangha, manifesting within the heart. That potency diminishes the tendency to perform karma, actions for material gain. When shraddha develops, the first action is to accept and take shelter of an initiating spiritual master, Diksha Guru, as well as the Diksha mantra to worship the Yugala Kishore, the divine couple Sri Sri Radhakrishna. After receiving the mantra, one should worship one's Siksha and Diksha Gurus with pure devotion and attachment to their lotus feet, Atma Vrati. One should not only respect gurus as saints using rational intelligence, but one should also deal with one's gurus as well-wishing friends. Always respect and serve the three types of Vaishnavas, junior, intermediate, and advanced, according to their eligibility with love and in a friendly manner. One should also develop deep attachment to chanting the mantras and serving the holy name. One should come to the point of complete surrender to the lotus feet of the divine couple, knowing them to be one's life and soul. This surrender is called Sharanagati. So that's the end of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's commentary, and I'll just read the translation again. All right. O dear brother, O mind, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Sri Guru, to Sri Vrindavana, the abode of cows, to the devotee residence of Vrindavana, to all the devotees in this planet, to the confidential mantra given by Sri Guru, to the holy names of Sri Sri Radhakrishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh youthful couple of Braj. Holding your feet, I beseech you with sweet words. All right, so any questions? Questions about anything? Now, just one explanation here, that when he talks about making friendship with the devotees, he's including, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, devotees in different spiritual, let's say, religions or paths, like Christianity or Judaism, any person who's following their shastra and is sincere in attaining the ultimate goal. And he considers those people to be superior to ritualistic Brahmins, which is really interesting. Quite interesting, isn't it? Even those who are of other religions who may be following different regulative principles than us, but they're focused on attaining love of God, he considers them more elevated than those who are ritualistic Brahmins following all the rules and regulations without the intention to achieve Krishna consciousness.
Does he say they're
Madhyamanikaris? Yeah, they're
Madhyamanikaris. That's interesting.
He can say, there's a little different definition of Madhyamanikaris. A little bit different than anyone of any religion who's sincerely following. In other words, if they're Christians, they should be vegetarians at least. Because Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill. So if they're sincerely following, want to achieve love of God, whereas we find ritualistic brahmanas, their intention is not that. Their intention is, you know, sometimes to make money because they're charging for their different services, sometimes to be respected in society. But if you ask them what is their goal, that is the whole point. They will not be able to say pure love of God. Or at best they'll say liberation. And usually they'll say heavenly planets, swarga. All right. Any other questions? We'll just keep it short.
It seems he is addressing the mind as a brother.
Yeah. Krishna has the mind as the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. The uncontrolled mind is the enemy. So it's our brother. So we should address, all right, this is like the internal process, which means Sivayamana Krishna Padaravindaya, fix the mind on Krishna and the path of devotional service.
Is this helps me because I'm fighting with the mind is an enemy. It's actually just a lost brother.
Yeah, it's our brother. Well, it's our assistant. Just like we have so many things that assist us in this world, different, you know, like I'm using a phone to assist me or a Kindle reader. It's not my enemy. It's actually neutral, but it can become my friend if I use it properly. You know, if you use the phone to do nonsense, then it's your enemy. So don't see the mind as your enemy. And that's not, Krishna never says the mind is your enemy.
He's saying he will act as an enemy if you don't.
If you don't, an uncontrolled mind is the enemy. But a controlled mind is the friend. So the mind has the potential to be your friend. Better you address things in a positive way than a negative way. Okay, you have a question?
You mentioned in the verse about the devotee residence of Braj.
Braj, yeah.
So does that mean that not all the devotees, all the people who live here are automatically
devotees? No, he's very explicit about that. He says, the devotees who reside in Braj in the mind and physically, or those who just reside in Braj in their mind. But he doesn't say those who reside in Braj but not in their mind. You understand what I'm saying? He's very specific. He's saying, in other words, a necessary quality is they must reside in Braj in their mind, in their consciousness. But if they're just residing, paraphrasing you, because at night you get all those people's smoke and everything like that, so I'm coughing. Everybody's cooking or burning things at night. So if they're just residing here with their physical body but not in their mind, he doesn't consider them to be Brajbasis, which is interesting. Of course, they're very fortunate, because even if one just sleeps in Braj, it's like offering obeisances. Just by eating prasadam, eating here in Braj, you're taking prasad, as long as you don't eat meat, fish, or eggs. But as far as being Brajavasis, it means to live The necessary quality is to live in your mind in Vrindavan. So you can live in Europe physically and live in your mind in Vrindavan and then you're Brajabasa. Does everyone understand that? That's the point he makes. If you read the direct verse, he says, actually in the commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, he says, those who reside in Brajadham for the purpose of such a person resides in Brajadham both physically and in meditation, or just in meditation. So one of those two qualities or those two situations indicates that one's a Brajabasi. But if you just live here and your mind is absorbed in the internet or something like that, then you're not living here. Because we know we live, or we are, wherever our mind is. Like Prabhupada said, if you think about something, your mind, you travel the speed of the mind to that place. Some people are sitting in Bhagavatam class, and they're not in Bhagavatam class. They're wherever their mind is. Some people are chanting their japa, and they're not chanting their japa. Because the mind is somewhere else. The japa, the holy name, is not simply an expression of the tongues and the lip, the tongue and the lips. It's actually in the mind. Otherwise, it's you're not really connecting with the holy name. Although it's namavash, yes, I understand that. But the shudanam is not simply like the moving of the lips and the tongue. Okay, what's that? That's guru bhakti.
I read in the shastra that advanced devotee can create
Vrindavan
everywhere.
Right? Yes, wherever devotee is.
Like, not so much advanced
devotee, it's required to
visit the Holy Dhamma. So, how can
you
get, so it's like, for us, very important to, like, on a regular basis, visit the
Holy Dhamma? Well, it's important at least once. Like, the Muslims have to go to Mecca at least once in their lifetime. Actually, it's a good idea. Not for us to go to Mecca, but in this way you actually can experience the Holy Dhamma and live there. Not, you don't have to go there every year or whatever it takes to have that deep remembrance and impression of the Holy Dhamma. Yeah.
Is Prabhupada more pleased for us to stay and preach in the West?
Yes, for you.
Going to Vrindavan.
Prabhupada is more pleased to stay to preach wherever you are. But to live in the Holy Dham without preaching, you know, unless one has some service for the mission, I don't see any reason to do that. I mean, the Prabhupada really didn't want that. The only reason I would take, I mean, obviously we come here, I'm not going to live here, at least externally, because I have a mission to execute for Srila Prabhupada. But I come here, you know, for spiritual rejuvenation, to connect with the Holy Dham and, you know, keep my mind fixed on the Holy Dham. But, you know, the only time we're going to stay here is when I'm getting ready to kick the bucket. And you understand what that means. Bucket. Actually, it's an interesting expression, kick the bucket. That indicates that the body is just like a bucket that holds the soul, you know. Actually, it's a very spiritual expression, to kick the bucket. Isn't it? Because it's just a bucket.
It's just a bucket.
A bucket is just something that holds a little water. I mean, it's a, what is important? The glass that holds the water or the water? The water. Because the water can go in any glass or any container. So you kick the bucket and the soul goes somewhere else. I like that expression. What's that?
How to always reside in Braj.
How do you follow the order of your spiritual master? No, what does it mean to reside in Braj? It means to have the mood of the Brajavasis. The mood of the Brajavasis is illustrated by Lord Chaitanya in the last verse of the Shikshastra. Right? Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, you may lay me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything, and you remain my worshipful Lord unconditioned. That's the mood of the Brahma Bhasis. If you have that mood, then you're living in Vrindavan. I mean, what's the mood of the gopis? Not that, oh, get jai, we get to have a I'm trying to think of something funny. We got to have a disco dance with Krishna tonight. You know, it's not based on false ego. It's like I was hearing about ladies in South India, that if you want to please them, you just give them flowers. So that, in other words, the person's just very much self-interested. One gentleman was telling me that if he ever has an argument with his wife, he can do anything and anything, but as long as he gives her flowers at the end, everything's all right. So, that's pretty good. I mean, that should be applied across the board. So, apart from that, because that's self-centeredness. One's thinking about themselves, or flowers for me. So the mood of the gopis is, you know, if we have to go to hell to cure Krishna's headache, we're willing to do that. And that's actually the mood of the Vrajavasis. That's what it means to live in Vraj. And to remember Krishna's pastimes and to have focused in one's mind the different aspects of Vraj. I mean, if you read Krishna book, you're living in Braj and be absorbed in Krishna book. So, any other questions? Yes.
You said that, what should be our mood regarding passing away, leaving our body? Should we be attached to it, Yehoda, or?
Well, Prabhupada said he wanted to leave this world fighting like a fighter, like Arjuna. So, even at the final stage, he embarked towards London. He was just like a bag of skin and bones, and he went to London. So that was Prabhupada's mood, although at the end Krishna arranged that he would come to Vrindavan when he wasn't able to externally function anymore. But it's not that if we have like 10 years left to live, we just go to Vrindavan and just wait for death to come. I would say, you know, the final few weeks, you know, hospice type of thing, when it's getting time to leave the body. If you can't do practical preaching, but you have Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was able to do practical preaching by staying out of Vrindavan, and was able to give association to many more people than he would have had he gone to Vrindavan. So I think that, you know, utility is the principle has to be applied. Utility is the principle means whatever is the best for spreading Krishna consciousness. In other words, leaving the body for a Vaishnava, if they're properly situated, is a preaching opportunity. So one should take it like that. Take it as a preaching opportunity. Of course, it depends on the mood. I can't criticize someone who's doing something different. But, you know, in Vrindavan, we have a nice hospice. But it's not that one should remain, if one happens to be like 60 or 70 or 80 years of age, and in good health, or able to function at least relatively well, then one should remain in Vrindavan. If one's a preacher, I mean, let's say if one is completely disabled, can't preach, has no influence on other people, maybe, in a circumstance like that, go to Vrindavan. But then you have to also see, practically, where you have the best support system. You know, let's say someone is 95 years old, getting ready to leave their body, come to Vrindavan, but the option is that they could be with all the devotees they've been serving with their whole lives, we're going to help them remember Krishna, like Jayananda Prabhu. He stayed in Los Angeles, leaving his body. And he was surrounded by devotees, because they were helping him remember Krishna. I think the most important thing is whatever is best for remembering Krishna at the time of death. And if we have our whole support system somewhere else, and we go to Vrindavan, there's nobody there to help us except for some devotee doctors who we've never met before. I would say it might be better to remain in the West, where people can help us remember Krishna. But if you're going to be in the West and there's people going to help you forget Krishna, it's better to go somewhere else. Like you're surrounded, like you're, let's say you're dying at a young age and your mother comes and says, oh dear, and I forgot what your name was before you were initiated. But anyway, Gargana or something like that.
Yeah.
See, I remembered. Dear Gargana, don't leave us. then it's better you head for Vrindavan. I was with a devotee one time, and he was in the intensive care unit. He was in shock, and he was getting ready to leave his body, and his mother and his wife were there, and they were saying, "Oh, Jeffrey, don't leave us, don't leave us." And I was watching the monitor above his head, so seeing that if he started a flat line, that means die, I would just like push him out of the room and start chanting to him. You know, because the mundane persons tend to bring our consciousness down, especially if we're going to leave our bodies. I mean, at that particular point, you stay the hell away from mundane persons. Anybody who's not Krishna conscious, I mean, that's the main thing. Don't go near them. Don't think of them. Don't go near them. I mean, if you're in good health, then you can preach to them, cultivate them, and everything like that. But otherwise, I would say, you know, just keep about 1,000 kilometers away from them, from any mundane relatives or friends. Okay, I think we should end now, because we've got an early morning program. Thank everybody for joining us. Saki's joining us. She's from Fiji, of course. Alita Gopinath and Divya Nitai Leela. Oh, she's joining us a lot. She says, Gurudev, what's the difference between dealing with Siksha and Diksha Gurus? Because we have many Siksha Gurus. Actually, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're equal and different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Diksha Guru, of course, is the one who gives us the mantra. Diksha Guru is also a Siksha Guru at the same time. And Siksha Guru is those who help us advance in devotional service. And it depends on one Shraddha, who we primarily take shelter of. I mean, for many devotees in ISKCON, they take primary shelter of Srila Prabhupada, even though they're initiated by other devotees. So, but that depends on your Shraddha. That means your faith and your attachment. Who helps you the most? Who's your connection? But we only take initiation from one guru. Unless the guru passed away after we take first initiation and then before second initiation, then we take from one of his godbrothers or his god siblings or god forbid. That's a joke. Or god children. Okay, I answered that question. There's a lot of nice devotees watching us. Oh, Divya Nitai Leela and Adi, they were watching. Very nice. Okay, all glorious.